Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
Welcome back to Building Passive Income. I'm CREI Colin. Yesterday, we talked about how to find multifamily deals through on-market and off-market channels. Today, we're diving into how to finance those deals. Financing is one of the most important decisions you'll make on any multifamily acquisition. The right financing structure can enhance returns, provide flexibility, and reduce risk. The wrong financing can materially impact returns and refinance flexibility. Today, I'm going to share what we've learned about multifamily financing options, when to use each type, and how to structure debt for different deal types and hold periods. Multifamily financing falls into several broad categories: agency debt, bridge loans, bank loans, CMBS loans, and private debt. Each financing type has different characteristics, including interest rates, loan-to-value ratios, prepayment penalties, recourse, and term length. The right financing depends on your deal type, hold period, business plan, and risk tolerance. Let's start with agency debt. Agency debt refers to loans backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the government-sponsored enterprises that provide liquidity to the multifamily market. Agency debt is a commonly preferred financing option for stabilized multifamily properties. It offers typically among the lowest-cost financing options, highest leverage, longest terms, and most favorable prepayment terms. Typical agency debt terms include fixed interest rates, 5-year, 7-year, or 10-year terms, 30-year amortization, loan-to-value ratios of 75% to 80%, depending on debt service coverage and market conditions, and non-recourse financing. Agency debt is best suited for stabilized properties with strong occupancy, consistent cash flow, and minimal deferred maintenance. The advantages of agency debt include low-cost financing, high leverage, long-term fixed rates, non-recourse, and assumability. Agency loans are typically assumable, which means a buyer can take over your loan when you sell. This can be a valuable feature in a rising rate environment. The disadvantages of agency debt include strict underwriting requirements, prepayment penalties, slower closing timelines, and limited flexibility for value-add business plans. Agency lenders underwrite conservatively. They require strong debt service coverage ratios, typically 1.25 or higher, and stable occupancy and cash flow. Agency loans typically include prepayment penalties, often structured as yield maintenance or defeasance. These penalties can be expensive if you need to sell or refinance before the end of the loan term. Agency loans typically take 60 to 90 days to close, which can be challenging in competitive acquisition environments. We use agency debt for stabilized acquisitions and for refinancing properties after completing value-add business plans. Agency debt provides low-cost capital and long-term fixed rates that reduce exposure to rising interest rates. Now let's talk about bridge loans. Bridge loans are short-term loans designed for value-add properties that don't qualify for agency debt. Bridge loans provide flexibility to execute renovations, lease-up, and stabilization before refinancing into permanent financing. Typical bridge loan terms include floating interest rates, 2-year to 3-year terms with extension options, interest-only payments, loan-to-value ratios of 70 to 80%, and often recourse or partial recourse. Bridge loans are best suited for value-add properties with renovation needs, lease-up requirements, or operational improvements. The advantages of bridge loans include flexibility for value-add business plans, faster closing timelines, interest-only payments that improve cash flow during renovations, and higher leverage than agency debt on unstabilized properties. Bridge loans typically close in 30 to 45 days, which is faster than agency debt. The disadvantages of bridge loans include higher interest rates, floating rate risk, shorter terms that create refinance risk, and often recourse or partial recourse. Bridge loan interest rates are often materially higher than agency debt. Rates float based on SOFR or another index, which creates interest rate risk. Bridge loans typically have 2-year to 3-year terms with extension options. You need to execute your business plan and refinance into permanent financing before the loan matures. If you can't stabilize the property, or if market conditions deteriorate, you may face challenges refinancing, which can create significant risk. We use bridge loans for value-add acquisitions where we plan to renovate units, improve operations, and increase occupancy. We underwrite conservatively to ensure we can stabilize the property and refinance within the loan term. Bank loans are another common financing option for multifamily properties. Bank loans are provided by regional and community banks. They're often used for smaller properties or by borrowers with strong banking relationships. Typical bank loan terms include fixed or floating interest rates, 3-year to 5-year terms, 20-year to 25-year amortization, loan-to-value ratios of 70 to 75%, and often recourse. Bank loans are best suited for smaller properties, borrowers with strong banking relationships, or properties that don't fit agency or bridge loan criteria. The advantages of bank loans include relationship-driven underwriting, faster closing timelines, and flexibility on deal structure. Banks often provide more flexible underwriting than agency lenders, particularly for borrowers with strong relationships and track records. The disadvantages of bank loans include lower leverage, shorter terms, often recourse, and less competitive pricing than agency debt. CMBS loans, commercial mortgage-backed securities, are another option, typically used for larger properties or portfolios. They offer non-recourse financing with competitive pricing, but include strict prepayment penalties and less flexible servicing. Private debt is another financing option, typically used when conventional financing isn't available. Private debt is provided by private lenders, debt funds, or high net worth individuals. It's typically more expensive than conventional financing, but offers greater flexibility. Typical private debt terms include fixed or floating interest rates, 1-year to 3-year terms, interest-only payments, loan-to-value ratios of 60% to 75%, and often recourse. Private debt is best suited for properties that don't qualify for conventional financing, bridge-to-bridge situations, or borrowers who need speed and flexibility. The advantages of private debt include speed, flexibility, and availability when conventional financing isn't an option. The disadvantages of private debt include high interest rates, lower leverage, shorter terms, and often recourse. We rarely use private debt because it's expensive and creates refinance risk. We prefer to structure deals that qualify for conventional financing. Matching financing to your business plan is critical. For stabilized acquisitions with minimal value add, agency debt is typically the best option. It provides low rates, high leverage, and long-term fixed financing. For value-add acquisitions with renovation and lease-up, bridge loans are typically the best option. They provide flexibility to execute your business plan before refinancing into permanent financing. For smaller properties or unique situations, bank loans may be the best option, particularly if you have strong banking relationships. Your hold period also influences your financing decision. For longer hold periods, 7 years or more, agency debt with long-term fixed rates is typically optimal. You want to lock in low rates and avoid refinance risk. For shorter hold periods, 3 to 5 years, bridge loans or shorter-term agency debt may be more appropriate. You want to minimize prepayment penalties when you sell. Loan-to-value ratio is another critical decision. Higher leverage increases equity returns but also increases risk. If the property underperforms or market conditions deteriorate, high leverage can create cash flow pressure or refinance challenges. Lower leverage reduces returns, but also reduces risk. You have more equity cushion to absorb underperformance. We typically target loan-to-value ratios of 70% to 75% on acquisitions. This provides attractive leverage while maintaining a meaningful equity cushion. Interest rate risk is a major consideration in today's environment. Fixed-rate financing reduces exposure to rising interest rates. Your debt service is predictable for the life of the loan. Floating-rate financing creates interest rate risk. If rates rise, your debt service increases, which can reduce cash flow and returns. We prefer fixed-rate financing for stabilized properties and longer hold periods. We use floating-rate bridge loans for value-add properties, but underwrite conservatively to account for potential rate increases. Prepayment penalties are another important consideration. Agency loans and CMBS loans typically include prepayment penalties structured as yield maintenance or defeasance. These penalties compensate the lender for lost interest if you pay off the loan early. Prepayment penalties can be expensive, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars or more if you need to sell or refinance before the end of the loan term. We carefully consider prepayment penalties when selecting financing. For shorter hold periods, we may choose financing with lower prepayment penalties, even if the interest rate is slightly higher. Recourse versus non-recourse is another key consideration. Non-recourse financing means the lender's only remedy in the event of default is to foreclose on the property. The borrower has no personal liability beyond standard carve-outs for fraud, misrepresentation, and environmental issues. Recourse financing means the borrower has personal liability if the property doesn't generate sufficient proceeds to repay the loan. We strongly prefer non-recourse financing. It limits our downside risk and protects our personal assets. Let me share some common mistakes investors make with financing. First, maximizing leverage without considering risk. High leverage increases returns but also increases risk. Underwrite conservatively and maintain equity cushion. Second, using short-term floating rate debt without adequate interest rate protection. Floating rates create risk. Underwrite conservatively and consider interest rate caps. Third, not considering prepayment penalties. Prepayment penalties can be expensive. Match your financing term to your expected hold period. Fourth, not shopping multiple lenders. Financing terms vary significantly across lenders. Get multiple quotes and negotiate. Fifth, not understanding loan covenants and recourse provisions. Read your loan documents carefully and understand your obligations and liabilities. Our approach to financing is conservative and strategic. We match our financing to our business plan and hold period. We target loan-to-value ratios of 70% to 75% to balance leverage and risk. We prefer fixed-rate financing to reduce interest rate exposure. We carefully consider prepayment penalties. We strongly prefer non-recourse financing to limit downside risk. And we shop multiple lenders to ensure competitive terms. Let me close with this. Financing is one of the most important decisions you'll make on any acquisition. The right financing enhances returns and reduces risk. The wrong financing can materially impact performance and flexibility. Match your financing to your business plan and hold period. Balance leverage and risk. Prefer fixed-rate financing to reduce interest rate exposure, particularly for longer hold periods. Consider prepayment penalties and match your financing term to your expected hold period. Prefer non-recourse financing to limit downside risk. And shop multiple lenders to ensure competitive terms. Tomorrow, we're talking about hold periods. We'll cover 3-year, 5-year, and 7-year strategies and how to determine the optimal hold period for different deal types. Thanks for listening. I'm CREI Colin. Let's keep building passive income together.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free passive investor coaching program at passiveinvestorcoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.